Welcome to tonight's call for all supporters. We're hosting tonight on this most historic of occasions on Zoom's webinar feature instead of our usual line that you're familiar with, because we wanted to be able to host and accommodate as many volunteers as possible. But let us get this call started, because we're at the top of the hour and we have some big news for everyone. Allow me to introduce three esteemed guests that need no introduction, but just in case you haven't met them yet. We'll start with Mark Reynolds. As a globally recognized expert, CCL's executive director, Mark Reynolds, has used his decades of private sector training and consulting background to empower ordinary citizens to educate influential stakeholders about the benefits of national climate solutions. Joining Mark is CCL's Vice President of Programs, Madeline Pera, formerly executive director for the Wisconsin National Organization of Women. Madeline considers her top priority to be ensuring that CCL's 110,000 supporters have the tools and knowledge they need in the enactment of fair, effective climate solutions. And with Mark and Madeline is CCL's Vice President of Government Affairs, Dr. Danny Richter. Danny joined CCL staff in 2013 as the first staffer in DC, where he established that office and has been responsible for developing our overall legislative strategy, clarifying the details of our policy, overseeing CCL's research program, and interacting with other groups in DC. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's wonderful news. And I'll pass it to you, Mark, to start us off.
Great. Thank you, Brett. So today, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was introduced onto the floor of the House of Representatives. This is the first bipartisan climate bill in a decade. And when Waxman-Markey was introduced in 2009, that was actually with 8 Republicans voting for the bill. There were no original Republican co-sponsors. So the fact that there is a Republican co-sponsor on this bill is a game-changing moment. So the leads on the bill are Representative Ted Deutsch of Florida. That's the Democratic lead. The Republican lead is Francis Rooney of Florida. The other Democrats are Charlie Crist of Florida and John Delaney of Maryland. The other Republican is Brian Fitzpatrick. So you notice that it's different than the Climate Solutions Caucus. At this point, there's 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans. But at one point, Charlie Crist used to be a Republican, so maybe we can count him for both. But anyway, this is a really, really big moment, and you should all take a moment to kind of be wowed by what happened. You know, I would imagine that you've had people tell you the same things that they've been telling me for years, the things that we can't or shouldn't or are impossible to do. And so originally what people told us is, why are you meeting with Republicans? Why do you even do that? What's the point? And then we put the caucus together and we started talking about having Republicans and Democrats talk to each other and really focused on how important it was to have a bipartisan bill, but really the importance of a Republican lead sponsor if we wanted something meaningful and lasting. And the number of people who are really considered actual experts in this field, many times those people told me that this was impossible. What we were out to do was a fool's errand. And these are legitimate people. These aren't just, you know, somebody, you know, talking to you and walking down the street. These are people who are legitimate experts. And so I would imagine that for some of you, there's a little bit of a moment here of, wow, we stuck with it. We hung in there. No matter what anybody said, we kept battling for what we believed was the right solution. You know, that was one of the things that people told me all the time. Yeah, it's the right solution. It's just impossible to ever actually get it introduced. And so here it is, that moment, and we actually have introduced it. What's going to happen tonight is we're going to review the basic framework of the bill. Danny Richter will do that with us. And then Madeline is going to go over what is the next best steps for us to take. In both cases, we'll have a Q&A right after that session. So Daniel will present his part of the call, then we'll have a Q&A, and then Madeline will present her part, and then we'll have a Q&A, and then we'll wrap up the call, and we'll do that all in 45 minutes or less. So, as I said, in 2009, the Waxman-Markey bill came out, and that had 8 Republican co-sponsors, but no Republican lead. And if you look at what's happened coming out of the Climate Solutions Caucus now, you have 2 carbon pricing bills with Republican leads on them. I think this has to be a huge moment of vindication for Chairman Deutsch and Chairman Curbelo, that not only there's a huge moment for them, but also for the Climate Solutions Caucus. Now, this is now two really important pieces of legislation came out of the members of the caucus. Okay, so what we've been doing is a couple of processes to get ready for this bill. One is we had over 30 items that we thought were up for contention when we actually got to the bill process. You know, what were things where we might have to give and take? What would we give up to get something for? And we've been evaluating that pretty intensely for the last 3 years. The thing that was shocking to me in looking at what we actually came out with is how much we got. I didn't expect to get this much in our first shot at a bill, but we did. And I'm very excited about that. And Danny will go over that with you in a minute. The second thing is Danny and his team have been doing an extraordinary job of working out bill language over the last year and a half. So for a year and a half, what we've been doing is meeting with Republican offices, meeting with Democratic offices, working on language that would be acceptable to both sides, but still maintain the basic architecture of what we were out to do. So those are an incredible piece of work by Danny, his team, Ben, Andres, Stephanie, and of course, Jay Butera. Now, that being said, all the work that we did on the Hill, all the work that we've done building coalitions on and off the Hill with other organizations, we are all crystal clear that this happened because of the work you have been doing, that you have been working painstakingly to create respectful, deep, meaningful relationships with members of the Congress and their staff. This couldn't happen without you doing this. And so your work is paying off now. We know that introducing a bill is not passing a bill, but we know that. That is crystal clear to us. But this is a really big first important step, and the credit really goes to you. So thank you for all the extraordinary work you've been doing. So I'm going to turn it over to Danny. Danny's going to go over the basics of the bill, take some questions, and then we'll have Madeline talk about what we're going to do. We'll take some more questions, and then we'll wrap the call up all within 45 minutes.
Hello, everybody. Just sneaking in here. Let's take another moment to celebrate this. This is really, really, really big. All of you deserve a huge pat on the back. And so here's my virtual pat on the back to all of you. So again, just to reiterate what Mark said, people have been saying that this was impossible for years. And we got encouragement every single year to get off of our laser-like focus. And we, of course, listened, but we decided we would stick to our guns. And now here we have a bill on the congressional record that is sending a huge signal to the entire world about what is possible on climate in America. Now, what is in that bill? I will be doing a Citizens Climate University on what's in the bill in much more in-depth this Thursday, November 29th. But right now, I'll go over the highlights for you. And so, first of all, why do we like this bill? Number one, this bill is effective. Number two, this bill is bipartisan. Number three, this is a bill that's going to save lives. This is a bill that's going to create jobs, and this is a bill that's revenue neutral. Those are all reasons that we like this bill. And so what is in this bill that is the same as that you've been advocating for all these years? The first thing is the rate of increase. This starts at $15 per ton of CO2 equivalent, and it increases by at least $10 per ton per year. Does that sound familiar? This is the main thing that is going to drive the emissions reductions, and this is really everything that we could have wanted here. The second thing that is the same is the dividend formula. This has a 100% rebate, 100% rebate of net revenues with a full share per adult and a half share per child. This guarantees long-term support for the policy and that low-income and middle-class households end up ahead. Third point, the border carbon adjustment is expected to be WTO legal and ensures that there is no incentive for businesses to relocate to a more polluting regime. With this construction, America will be seen as being a good global partner, and our biggest trading partners, who already have carbon prices in place, will be encouraged to increase the ambition of their own carbon prices, increasing the likelihood that we as a global community solve a global problem. Now, what is different? The biggest difference is that there are regulatory limits here. It was clear in the negotiations that this was something Republicans were going to need in order to get on board. However, the limitation is limited. It's a scalpel, not a cudgel. Things that are explicitly protected. Number one, EPA rules that don't directly regulate covered greenhouse gases will remain untouched and still in effect. So for pollutants like NOx, for sulfur, for ozone particulates, and mercury, you can still regulate those. The way I like to explain this, think about coal. You will no longer be able to regulate coal for its greenhouse gas emissions and the effect that will have on the climate. But you can still regulate coal for the sulfur that comes out, the mercury that comes out of it, the particulates, the effects on streams. And if the greenhouse gases are affecting people's health, you could still regulate it for that. So again, this is a scalpel, not a cudgel. It explicitly protects CAFE mileage standards for cars and trucks. It protects greenhouse gas authority over non-road vehicles and aircraft. The methane abatement program that applies to leaked and vented methane from oil and gas operations. And you could still regulate, again, you could still regulate greenhouse gases for their impacts on health. So for example, in frontline communities where there are lots of methane leaks, you could regulate that methane for its health impacts, just not for the climate impacts of that greenhouse gas. Since the Clean Power Plan itself said that carbon prices will achieve by year three of this policy are better than the emissions we would achieve, we feel very good about making this trade. And importantly, if cumulative emissions targets aren't hit after 10 years, the regulatory authority comes back. So this is tested against that in total emissions reductions. And if we're not making our targets, regulations come back. Now, another difference is that there is a provision for CO2 capture and sequestration, carbon capture and sequestration that is safe and permanent. There would be a rebate for such carbon dioxide that is so captured and sequestered. There are also some special provisions for agriculture. It is explicit that non-fossil fuel emissions are covered, which is the same as our policy. But it also cues off of an existing program so that fossil fuels used on farms are not subject to the fee. This cues off the diesel program that farmers are familiar with, and this will maintain the integrity of the program. For example, in Iowa, such emissions account for only 8% of emissions in just the transportation sector, and nationwide, it looks like 0.6% of our emissions would be exempted under that provision. So we can show farmers we care and we're looking out for them without compromising the integrity of the program. The program will end when certain technical and budgetary conditions are met, but this is no different than the selling point I've often made in Republican offices. When we stop burning fossil fuels, this program goes away. This is important for conservatives who want to keep the size of the federal government down. The next difference is that there are conditions that can trigger a scale-up in the annual carbon fee, which are very clearly defined. So if we're not meeting those targets, which are laid out in the bill, the carbon price will increase not by $10 that year, but by $15. So that is an environmental integrity mechanism that makes sure that we are scaling up the rate of increase and we're meeting our emissions reductions targets. Next change, carbon dividend payments will begin in advance of the first carbon fee collection to make sure that low-income households have some money in their pocket before the fee hits. This will also be a token of good faith for those concerned that the government would never return their money. So to be specific, the dividend payments begin the month before the fee begins. There is a special carbon fee rate for fluorinated greenhouse gases. They're still subject to the fee, but they would be subject to the fee at 10% of their global warming potential. And the border carbon adjustment applies to exported carbon fuels as well. So fossil fuels which are leaving the United States would have a rebate to them at the border. So in conclusion, This is super close to what we have always wanted. Our two biggest concerns that this take a serious chunk out of emissions and that this ensure long-term support by taking care of the poor are addressed and addressed almost exactly the way we've always been wanting them to be addressed. This is a huge win for the climate. The goals, the targets, the forcing mechanisms in this policy are more aggressive than anything we've seen submitted to Congress. Certainly anything we've seen submitted to Congress in a bipartisan fashion. This is a new day for the climate. This is a new day for the world. As a result of your often years of hard work, this is a clear signal to every nation on Earth that there are legislators in the United States on both sides of the aisle who want to see this happen and want to see it happen fast. And that is a message of hope.
All right. Thanks, Danny. So right now what we're going to do is we're going to turn it over to CCL's Vice President of Programs, Ms. Madeline Pera. As soon as she found out about this and the possibility of this bill, she went right to work, what she always does, which is, you know, figuring out how to collaborate across all these different departments within CCL and all the 450 group leaders and regional coordinators and state coordinators all across our organization to figure out what we do next. So I don't know about you, but that's what I'm always impressed with Madeline. And so we're going to turn it over to Madeline.
Great. Thanks, Ricky. So just to say it again, your actions to build political will were hugely instrumental in getting us to this stage. And I just have to point out that it was just 2 weeks ago that we were having our lobby day for Congressional Education Day in Washington, D.C., where lots of you were there. And 2 weeks later now, we have five climate heroes introducing carbon fee and dividend legislation. So the culmination of a lot of great work. So now we get to take this ball and run with it and build up support for it everywhere that we go. So again, it's been deliberately introduced into the lame duck session to give carbon fee and dividend a head start in the next Congress. So it's our job now then to shower the sponsors with appreciation, with love, with support, so much so that even more of their colleagues are going to want to sign on to this bill when it's reintroduced next year. Because as we've always said, politicians don't make political will, they respond to it. So that's our job, to make political will. So in this section, I'm doing two things. I'm going to talk about what we should be doing now, and then I'm going to talk about the resources that staff have put together to enable you to hit the ground running with this. So what to do? First of all, take time to learn about the bill, and then have a celebration, you know, with your friends, your family, your chapter, and then dive in. Do as much as you can before the holidays, and then perhaps enjoy some wonderful conversations about the bill with your family and friends during your holiday visits, and then get ready to plunge in the new year, especially with a new Congress and a bill that we have now to organize around. So our top priority this month and you know, through the end of this year is, again, to shower the sponsors with appreciation and do that both publicly in the newspaper opinion pages and it via social media, and then to do that personally as constituents. So they need to know that we have their backs. And lots of you know how to do this already, but here's some points for you. First of all, if you're a constituent of one of the five sponsors, use your preferred method for contacting them to send them a thank you. So that could be emailing or calling or by social media. Leave it to our designated liaisons to those five folks to thank the congressional aides, but use every other means that you have open to thank them. And then if you're not a constituent and you want to thank them, Twitter is the best way to do that directly. The other forms of communicating with members of Congress really work best for constituents only. Now, of course, we do want you to write your own members of Congress and encourage them to support the bill. Another thing that everybody can do is write letters to the editor and bring up the bill in those letters and name the bill sponsors. Because, you know, when you name a member of Congress in a letter to the editor, their staff is going to see it in a Google alert. And so they're going to know that they've been named there. So put one or more of the bill sponsors' names into your letters to the editor whenever you can and praise them for that bipartisanship and climate action. Then, of course, you can also share CCL's posts and tweets on social media. So I want to go back to letters to the editor. We would especially like to see a blizzard of letters to the editor just as soon as possible, because as you can imagine, they're also going to be hearing from people who disagree with them taking that step. And this is so important that I want to issue a challenge to everybody. The greatest number of letters to the editor that CCLers ever published was in the month, actually back in December 2015. And that was the month of the Paris talks. We had 420 recorded letters to the editor then. So here's my challenge. Can you top that? I think you can. I'd like to see at least 421 letters to the editor between now and the end of the year. All right, so I think you can do that. And everything you need is on our websites, and I'll be showing that to you shortly. Okay, so there are some other things to do, of course, and some of them have been popping up in the chat like crazy. But it's, again, all stuff that you know how to do. So group leaders, for example, if you made a chapter action plan for when the bill's introduced, now's the time to bring that out. If you didn't, no worries. I've just given you the first important things to be doing, and we'll talk more on our support call next week. If you're on this call as one of our supporters who hasn't been engaged in a group yet, I want to thank you especially for being here and for joining us at this exciting moment. So if there's a group near you, they'll be super happy to hear from you and to scoop you up and help you find the way that you want to help. If there isn't a group near you, then please contact us, because we'll help you figure out how you can keep going or what you want to put together around you. And you can reach us through the Contact Us form on our website. Okay. And of course, everybody can also support our work by donating to our year-end appeal, which is underway right now. It's been a wonderful Giving Tuesday. All right, so our staff has been just super hard at work getting things ready for you. And so I'm going to give you a quick tour of what we've just added to community just this afternoon. And then I hope you'll take some time to review that later at your leisure, because I'm going to go fast. Okay, so community is what we call our member website, CCL Community. And from the homepage there, you can get right to the bill by clicking on that gray tile that's right there that Brett's showing you. And it's labeled the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, logically enough. You can also enter that in the search bar. So once you've clicked there, you'll end up on the page for the bill on community. And what I want you to notice is the four tabs kind of in the middle here. They're labeled About the Bill, Take Action, Resources, and Share and Discuss. And I'm going to briefly show you what each of those pages looks like. So about the bill, it gives you a general overview. And a little bit further down on that page, it also gives you CCL's analysis of how it's different from our proposal. Now, that's just what you've heard tonight from Danny, but this is where you can find it in writing to review it or share it with people. Of course, a lot of you already want and will continue to want details on the policy. The bill text will be available as soon as it's out, but we have a question and answer document that we've made that goes, you know, into more detail than we've been able to here tonight. So you can just take a look at it real briefly. It looks like this. Here it comes. Yep. And you can see, if you have really great eyesight, that there's a long list of questions there. And when you click on them, an answer will open. So if you've got unanswered questions after this call, that's one place you could go and dive into those details. All right, let's go to the Take Action tab now. Okay, so you'll see on that when you click on the Take Action tab, there's always going to be one highlighted action at the top. Right now it's tell your member you support the bill. There's also going to be a section called On Your Own, that people are things individuals can do, and a section called With Your Chapter, because, you know, some things work better in coordination with the chapter. For instance, doing outreach to community organizations or newspaper editors. You're going to want to do that coordinated with other people. But I want to briefly take a look at one of the On Your Own actions, which is writing a letter to the editor, because we've got this challenge going. And I want to show you real quick what the tool looks like that will simplify this for you. So when you click on that link that's in the Take Action section there, what you'll see is our tool. And when you put your zip code and contact info in there, it's going to select newspapers that are within 30 miles of you. And if you click on one of those newspapers, then in the box that you can't see, you can actually enter your letter right here on this tool and send it directly to your newspaper. So we've made it really simple. Well, what if you don't know what to say? There's a second tab on this tool that you can see outlined in green there that says outline. And that's where we have some tips and a suggested outline for your letter. Okay. So let's move on then to the resources tab real quick. We have tried to make things really easy to find, and we put them all in one place here on this tab in four sections. And it's really amazing how much is here. So in the general section, that's where you can get a link to the main CCL site. Of course, you can go there directly on the site because we have updated the main CCL site too. There is also underneath that one what's labeled the bill endorsement site. So we have made a bill, a website just for the bill. And that's where community leaders and organizations can go to learn about it, especially if they aren't interested in going to our CCL website. And it's also where you can send them to endorse it. So we'll be talking more about that on those CCUs that are coming up. So this is something I think you'll find really useful as you're building support for the bill. All right, the media and social media tab, there'll be a media packet for editors out very soon that you can use, those of you who are working with newspaper editors can use. Everybody could take advantage of the social media toolkit. You might like to see our press release. If you work with the media, you might find the local press release template useful. The printables tab has everything you need to start tabling. All right, so there's a fact sheet, there are postcards for the bill, there are thank you postcards, and there are new constituent comment forms just for the bill. So that'll let you get started tabling. All right, and then the Learn More tab starts with a link to that Q&A that I already mentioned earlier, where we listed all the questions you might come up with and tried to answer them in advance. But right underneath that is a link that's also very important, that is the question and answer form. And I'm actually going to cover that on the last tab. Underneath that, you'll see that we'll be putting recordings from the supporter call tonight. And so if you want to send that to someone, and from the Citizens Climate University webinars that we'll be holding the next three times or other webinars that come up. So those webinars, again, they'll be the next three Thursdays, and that'll be a place to get updates on the bill and training on what to do in the field, things like how to talk about the bill or get endorsements for the bill. Okay, this last tab on community is called Share and Discuss, and it's important. We created a forum, like a discussion forum, on community for all your bill questions and comments. So first, go see if we answered them already, either on the Q&A page or already on this forum. But if we didn't, then put your question in there. And staff's going to be monitoring that. Our goal is to respond to you within 2 to 4 business hours, as in not tonight, not till tomorrow morning, Brett, for the next few weeks. And rather than try to guess which one of us you want to send your questions to, just put them here. And that will be the most efficient way for us to answer you and for other people to also get the answers to their questions. All right, and you're seeing a picture already does look like it's already in use. Okay, so I just want to note, for those of you who have been watching for the upgrade to CCL community, new community has been put off just a little more because the staff had just so much work to do to put this other thing together. And I want to thank every member of the CCL staff for the hard work that these resources represent. It's just an amazing thing that they've done to pull that all together and switch it on all today. I also want to thank our regional and state coordinators, who are too numerous to name, but without whom we never would have reached this milestone. And remember, your state and regional coordinators are here to help you as we move forward. And then, to everybody on the call, I also just want to say, imagine how fun that your December chapter meeting is going to be now that we have a bill out and can organize around it. I can hardly wait to get to mine. So I hope you all make it to your next meeting. Congratulations again on all the persistent, powerful work that's led to this milestone. We have a long way to go from bill introduction to bill passage, but you've shown that amazing things can happen when we support each other, work smart, and persist. So thank you, everybody.
All right. So first of all, special shout out to everybody in Europe who was on. I saw people saying they were starting the call at 3 a.m., so a special shout out to those of you in Europe. Our speaker last month, Anthony Leiserwitz, said there are 26 million Americans that are either alarmed or concerned about climate change, 26 million Americans. He said they all want to be in action, but they are not in action because nobody asked them to. So please go ask everybody you can to join us. Please invite everybody you can get to join our year-end appeal. And please invite people to join the team of people that are changing the impossible to possible. Thank you all. Congratulations and good night.